Welcome to Bounce with Zanella Morrison, the podcast that has conversations with extraordinary, ordinary people. So, dear lady, thank you. I have been looking forward to this. How long have we waited for this? My gosh, you know, I have to build patience into my life. We've waited probably like a month.
More.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So we met on LinkedIn.
Yes.
That fateful morning when you woke up very early, wee hours of the morning, and you thought you were having a moment and you're going to capture this moment on LinkedIn. Yeah. So I didn't know much about you. And I think we'll unravel and unpack who you are as we go along. But I do know that you made a choice about 8 years ago to leave corporate, and you were quite happy. You had a great job, but then you had a vision and you had a dream, and you decided to step out into the world and build something that for you fulfilled your purpose and your intent. So speak to me about what led you to the point where you decided. So I'm going to go way back. What led you to decide to go do Dikeledi's vision and dream for herself in this world?
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for the invite. What led me to that decision? I think it was a burning desire that had always been there, and that the time had come that I jumped and I went for it. But I always say, I think more than anything, it was the fact that I felt my dreams and aspirations were way bigger than what I could achieve within the organization that I was working in. So I had to look for way to achieve that. And the only way was to go out and do it on my own and try it on my own. And that was that. And that was also coupled with the fact that I think at the time in the company that I was working with, the organization that I was with, I was in a position that just made it feel right. I got a post that sort of connected the dots of what I wanted to do. The job I did there, I loved it so much that I wanted to do it outside without the closed box of working within, you know, that processes and rules in the environment. Yes, exactly.
And oftentimes we have pockets of our work. And this is what I love about what organizations give you. You get pockets of work that are just so fulfilling. But then you've got to balance it with the fact that there's a whole lot of other stuff that you have to do that you don't really want to do, that doesn't really lend itself to you. But it gives you the gift of these learning moments, right? That is just like you think, I could do this all the time. And I want to do this, and I want to just grow in doing this. So then what happened? So then you resigned. You know, what was your journey and what was your process to going down this path? Because the intent of this podcast is going to be to share crossroads decisions and how we get to that point where we choose a particular road or route. So what made you go down this route?
So I think also somehow our backgrounds prepares us, sometimes unaware. I was unaware that my growing up was preparing me for my today until the moment came and I decided, and it sort of made sense and fell into place. And why I say my background prepared me is that I come from a home where both parents were business owners, and I always say they were informal business owners, because back in the days we were never called entrepreneurs. I mean, the word entrepreneur, we're learning it today.
Listen, it was even illegal. My dad ran his own business out of his boot. It was so illegal. If you got caught, he would have been arrested.
Exactly.
He used to sell suits out of his boot. Very illegal back in the day.
Exactly. And worse me, it was in the village. So it was never seen as a matter of fact, I don't even think they were called businesses. I don't know what they were called, but it was a way of living. So my parents had a couple of that. We had tuck shop. eventually became a supermarket, and then we sold alcohol, itaven, sport. And then we had, we were manufacturing bricks, selling river sand, building sand. So many things. Vegetables. My father was also a taxi owner. He was also a cattle farmer. So I grew up in a space of businesses. I grew up in that.
So are entrepreneurs made or born? I don't need to answer that. Okay, so I'm loving this because it makes me feel like I'm on track. I didn't know this about you, so I'm discovering it also as we go along. And this is why I wanted to have these conversations, because I wanted to, and I think it's revealing itself, our backgrounds are so key to building the foundation of who we become later on. But also, you can now choose to do the same for your kids or not.
Exactly. Okay.
So it was in you. You had no fear to do this.
Yes, I could say that, although at the time I didn't know. And what also pushed me the year that I jumped and left corporate was two things. I also have a husband that is very entrepreneurial. He has never been employed by any organization. So he has always been self-employed, and he never understood why I was working for organizations. All the time that I've known him, he always said, I don't know why you're wasting your brains in that environment. Mm. I don't know why you're wasting your time. I remember when I got my first job at FNB, I think it was within the first few months of working. And then he says to me, let me open a telephone booth for you. It was that time that telephone booth were the in thing, and then you'd have a container and a small public phone, and then people would come and phone 50 cents to phone. And then he offered to open that for me. I mean, Zanele, at the time, I had just gotten myself a permanent job at FNB, getting to wear stilettos, pencils. I mean, and then here he is telling me to give all that up. A girl from the rural villages working in a bank in Joburg.
And you can tell them back in the village that you work for FNB.
Hello. And I must leave that and go sit in a telephone booth for 50 cents. It just did not make sense.
But to him, you didn't make sense either.
Exactly. So at the time I said to him, no, babe, business, not everyone is business minded. I remember those were my exit words.
Oh, at least you remember.
Not everyone is business minded. And he left me. He never pushed me. But when the time came and when I was ready, I was able to say, I'm now ready to jump. And I wanted more. I think more than anything, I wanted more. Mm. And now I knew what I was going to do.
Yes.
I also had a friend that we were very good friends at work. We were colleagues, and we both had gotten into each other's head, and we were like, we are doing this. So we together registered a company and together resigned on the same day. So,
oh, wow.
So I had a partner, like, you know, to push me that let's do it.
She's back in corporate. Right.
And then let's go. And
she's
then
back in corporate, right?
No, she's not.
I was just testing.
She's not. She's still running her own thing also.
Nice. Yes. So okay, sorry. I a little bit here and there, I'll be funny for no good reason. I'm so sorry. I must apologize. But so for me, that's what I think is the value of life. It's not about whether you're in or whether you're out. It's about your journey. Mm. And you learned so much and you got exposure to so much. I could pay companies for what I learned in their environment and what have you. Mm. So there's no one or the other. Mm-mm. I think you really did and had to go do that because it's an amazing experience as well. I mean, working
Definitely.
In the financial services space, I've loved working in the banks, because they're great training ground. Absolutely great training ground. And yes, you can live out your career in there, but sometimes you then get inspired and you say, you know what? Here's something that I wanted to do. So do you feel that you prepared enough considering now what you know now?
I don't think there can ever be enough.
Okay.
I don't think there can ever be enough. I mean, it's been 8 years now. And I've learned a lot, and I've had to unlearn also a lot. And I believe there's still more for me, to learn and unlearn. You know, like someone just said now, we evolve, we grow with time. We see different things and we reason differently. You know, as you get exposed, you see better, you know better, and then you do better.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it can never be enough, and it can never be, that's it. So I'm always open to learning. I'm always open to doing things differently and doing things a new way. So that's where I am. Process is absolutely necessary. It's important. It prepares us. And it sets the ground, for us, you know. And it's important that we go through it, because it's in that we stand a chance to discover ourselves and to discover this path and discover this thing that you're trying to build. I mean, in the 8 years that I have started, I can't tell you how many times I've tweaked and twisted my profile and my business and my offerings and this and that. You know, at one point you think, I got it. This is it. This is it. Yeah. You know, and then you go out and then you meet Abu Zanel, you know, and then she's doing this and that. And then you're like, no. He's like, I'm not on the right track. You know, and then you go back to the drawing board. But the most important thing in that is that you've got to remain authentic self. You've got to always know what you want and what makes it you, and keep to that. Important to learn, important to remain relevant, important to be informed by obviously looking at other people, by research, by going out there, by exposing yourself, but come back and inform your own journey, your own way. That's what I find.
You know, for me, I found, and I'm not there yet. There's so many legalities out there. And I want to normalize, I want to create access to the voice of Abu Degeledi and everybody. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. We have to start bringing to the fore the kinds of people that are offering services and that are doing things. And there's one thing that has made you get to where you are, which is your upbringing and really your exposure to the courage that has led you to go in this direction. At the same time, it's also helped you. You've also had to have certain values that have enabled you to do this, right? And you have had to taste those values, not just live them. You've had to taste them, you know, because people say, these are my values. You don't know your value until you taste your value. That's exactly what I want to say. Until it's in your mouth and it has a flavor. Right?
I mean,
so what are the values that you've had to have that have pulled you through, that you know, this is why I'm on this, because these are my values?
You know, in the entrepreneurial gene, oh my God, we get tested. You get tested a lot. And I think, I'm a Christian. I have found myself in a place where my faith has been tested also. You find yourself in a place where you're having to choose, you know, between, this thing that you want, the income, you know, you get, I actually wrote a book, it's a planner actually. And in that I share a story, that I called, The Danger of Being Desperate. And this is what this journey had unraveled for me and came out. You know, when you start, you think you got all that. I mean, you look at your profile and you're listening to yourself speak and you're like, I got this. You know, I got this. And there's no way anyone can turn this down. Girl.
2 weeks later, nothing. Ooh. 3 weeks later, nothing. But the meeting was good. The meeting went so well.
My dear, so promising. We'll get back to you. We loved you with this, with that. Emails, no replies. Calls, missed calls, no return of calls, no everything. Try 2 years later, nothing.
Oh my God.
2 years later, when your fridge begins to tell a story, when your bank accounts suddenly have holes, when you start avoiding talks with your husband, that when he comes to bed, you pretend to be asleep because,
it's 2 years later. You know, 2 years, I've got 24 months, yeah. Hey?
Yes. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing. Zero.
A lot of month ends.
Like zero. But with the runnings, with the meetings, with the up and down, and how do you keep the energy? How do you keep pushing? How do you keep the belief with all that when every door you knock on remains closed, when you hit wall after wall. How do you keep going? And then here you are 2 years later. So values gets tested. But with me being a performance coach, one of the things that when I speak to my clients and employees or even entrepreneurs themselves, I'm like, values have to be aligned to your culture. There has to be a culture and value alignment. What you say you stand for is what you should display. It shouldn't be what I read on your corridors or what I read on your website, but it should be what I experience when I'm sitting with you across the table. Then you know you're living your values. That's what values are. And yes, I have been tested, and I'll share a quick example that happened actually of recent. I've had too many tests. The danger of a desperate story is another test, but I'll share the recent one where I designed a product with a certain lady. Loved it. We gelled, we got along, we worked on it and everything. But came to a point actually early January that I felt I was disrespected, in the tone, in such a way that I could not overlook it. But also important when I say there has to be alignment is that my decision had an implication, a consequence of me losing that which I need most, which is income. Being an entrepreneur, COVID has shown us flames.
Businesses
have gone down.
No, it stopped.
Yeah. We're over it now. All right.
Yeah, we're over it now.
We're over it. It's gone. Okay. Let's move on. We used to it. Lifestyle change, downgrade. I don't think it's a downgrade anymore. It is what it is.
The bottom of the barrel.
We are there. All right. But I'm trying to show you how much I needed this income that this business deal was bringing for me. I had put in the work. I had put in the hours. I had put in the strength, the intellect into it. But that night I found myself having to decide whether I continue or I discontinue and lose all that money in as much as I needed it. And when I say I needed it, I meant my children at the time were at home, not at school, because we could not pay school fees. So it was absolutely necessary that I got the money. But I felt disrespected in such a way that I needed to respect myself and show that I make money, money doesn't make me. And I picked up a call and I said, I pull out because I will not be in a space where I feel underrated and disrespected in that manner. And for me, those are values. That's when you stand up and have a taste, like you said, of those values. Despite the consequences. And that was it. If you are able to find yourself in that position, then I say, girl, you got it. You've got to get to a point where you are in charge and in control and not be controlled by your situation. And that's that. And that's what I cover in my danger, the danger of being desperate, that, when we desperate, we tend to think with the head of the need at the time. We tend to focus on that immediate pressing need, and the relief it could come with and forget, or rather let yourself and who you are take a stand back. Because there's this need that's pressuring you. And that is the danger of being desperate, that you hear warning bells and you switch them off, because the need is that big. But if you are really focused, and believing so much in your values, you should be able to elevate yourself, beyond that. And those were the lessons that I learned. And I'm not here trying to paint myself clean. January, I was able to take that decision because I had been burnt.
Many times before.
I had been, I got my fingers bent. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was able to like, oh, here you are again. No, not this time.
Yeah, I know you now. I know you now. You know, yes. But listening to you, I promise you, it got me so emotional. Because I think that your story is the story of so many entrepreneurs, right? And I think we're going to hear more of that, mm-hmm. of really the true experience of going out there and being an entrepreneur. And it seems to come with so much authenticity as well. I mean, you're just walking that pure old journey and you've done it now for 8 years. And you woke up that morning and you wrote that post that caught my eye. You're the first person I've met by the way, physically, after meeting them on LinkedIn. I've never done that before. So listen, I'm also stepping into new territory. But you wrote that letter and it moved so many people on LinkedIn. It moved. So we've got to go back and tell them, right? So it moved so many people because you woke up and you wanted to give up that morning. You thought, I've done this. I've learned so many lessons. Yes, I've done good things. But I'm ready to give up now. Okay, Dikeledi, so why don't we link up this conversation in our next recording? Stay tuned. Dikeledi goes into that fateful morning where she woke up and she thought, this is it. She's not doing this anymore.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.